Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening.
This is the lovely Molly Ray. So we only have about 15 minutes, and there's a lot that I want to cover, and you always have so many amazing things to say. You know, you and I had a conversation about consent about 2 years ago.
We did.
And this was right after, pussy grabbing and things were mentioned in the political forum, and we talked a little bit about it, and I'm like, gosh, I have so much to say about this. I don't know if this is going to be anything. And so now, 2 years later, the book, right?
Erin, I was wondering, is that whole incident what really got you interested in leaning a little bit more towards focusing on consent in the dating relationship, this whole political environment that started?
Partially that, and then I think it kind of snowballed from there just in our society with that, and then Harvey Weinstein, and then Me Too, all of these things kind of happened, like one thing happens, and you're like, okay, I'm just going to observe for a little bit, and then a couple more things, same subject realm keep happening. It's like, how do I not say anything? And especially being a dating coach, it's like, how do I not talk about this? But I really am I the right person to talk about it? Which is why we have to bring people like yourself on in the book, because you guys have like degrees and, you know, PhDs and all of my contributors have really amazing credentials. And I wanted to bring you in.
Now, you are the right person to talk about it. We all are the right person to talk about it. I can't imagine it being off the table for anybody to discuss. So, and we all have different perspectives. I've listened to some of your interviews this week, and it's amazing the different backgrounds and perspectives and experiences everybody's had with this content of consent. And it needs to be a conversation among all of us. And those of you who might be listening to this, please talk about it. I've been trying to talk with my girlfriends. I'm here on vacation as a retiree in Hilton Head right now. We all have grown children. And we've had conversations about how we address this topic with our own kids, you know. And my hope was that we all started when the kids were young, but it wasn't the case. And if we did start talking with our kids about the content of consent when they were young, it wasn't always that we included the word consent or that we focus on the consent. We focus more on what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do in relationships, which, you know, that's just skimming, you know, the top of the surface. So I'm really focused on the foundational issue of consent. Like you read my quote, it has to be from a young age. We have to start the foundation early. And I don't even like the term consent. I really don't. Because to me, the term consent implies one person having power over another. It's almost like saying,
yeah,
give you permission to do what you want to do. I like the term maybe being in mutual agreement anything in life, not just sex, but anything in life. So that term consent is kind of a on the blacklist for me when it comes to terms to use. But we use it, and we're using it. You know, right now we're using it, and we're going with it. So just know.
Well, it's a very, very clinical legal term, right? I mean, so it kind of takes all the, like, fun and lighthearted out of it, and it makes it serious, which is why I think some people turn off when they hear it. But you made a point. I want to read your quote, because you talk about teaching this to kids, right? So Molly's quote, again, on page 2 of the consent guidebook, here we go. Waiting to teach about consent. Children begin to talk and communicate their needs. Children who are raised in an environment that demonstrates, teaches, encourages, reinforces, and expects respectful social human interaction is key. She says coercion is never okay. okay, when seeking to fulfill a desire or need, it's imperative that children are taught to ask first. May I, will you, would you like to, do you mind if, these questions should be regular parts of their repertoire as they're growing up. I think that's amazing. That's an amazing quote. And as you said, I mean, why is it that we teach this or don't teach this only to adults? You know, why is it that a lot of people that I know in their sex ed classes didn't learn about this at all? And so maybe, you know, a lot of like post-millennials right now are learning this like orientation weekend at colleges. There's like a whole like curriculum a lot of colleges have around for orientation. But that is too late, I think.
It is too late. It has to be foundational. And when it comes to consent, I know that a lot of people think they weren't taught consent in school. And I think it's because kids are so literal. They think if they never heard the word consent, they didn't learn about it. But when you were in my health class, I don't know if I ever used the word consent or not. I know that you said you really don't remember ever being taught about consent. But as you read the quote from me, I'm really focused on mental and social health. I think physical health is such a forefront in health education that sometimes we neglect the social and mental health. And so I really was a big proponent of focusing on social health with you and your classmates. And a lot of times what we learned was the difference between being assertive, aggressive, and what's the next word? I'm telling you.
I know.
Confrontational strategy.
I feel like I'm back in school.
We learned the difference between assertive, aggressive, and passive. Remember passive.
Right.
And you know.
And I just want to say, I mean, Molly, no, by the way, Molly was an amazing teacher. I think part of what I bring up in terms of saying that a lot of people didn't learn in school is that I'm just reinforcing that, A, like you said, the word consent wasn't a thing that was used. That word was not a thing back in the day. But also, it wasn't the focus of sex education. I mean, I'm hearing more for you, the younger generation, that they are learning a little bit more about it. And so that's not you. That's just like what, you know, you were told to teach us. And then you chose to be awesome and integrate passive, aggressive, like all these other things into it. But I don't think it was a requirement necessarily. I mean, you could speak more about that than I could, obviously, being an educator.
Right.
But I mean, that is a new concept for schools and universities to say, oh, we want to teach this now because we see that maybe this is an issue or we might get sued.
Right.
So now it's always your problem.
Yeah. A motivator. But you know what, Erin?
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, you go.
Okay. What really opened my eyes, first of all, having children, and, you know, I'm just, aside from me and my own upbringing and how I was a pleaser and wanted to do everything that pleased everybody, and I was not wanting to make waves, I was non-confrontational in relationships, and you know, I could spend a whole hour talking about my strategies to avoid being taken advantage of instead of standing up for myself. And I think a lot of us can talk about those strategies we use.
Yes.
And what really opened my eyes was when I had children and my daughter one day came home from school and I looked at her hand and for some reason she was doing her homework and there was a big red welt on her hand. And I said, honey, how did you get that welt on your hand? And she looked at me and she said, Mom, we were sitting in reading circle and I had my hand on the carpet just supporting myself and Mrs. Shaner was standing on my hand. And I said, well, what did you say? I didn't say anything. I said, you didn't say anything to your teacher and she was hurting you? I didn't know what to say. I thought I'd get in trouble. And I think that's where we start with the problems is kids feel that they don't have the right to express their needs to people who are of higher authority, and then that passes into relationships where we're taught that males have the power and authority and we don't have the right to express our needs, let alone, you know, the desire to be wanted by them and doing anything we can by pleasing them, which is a sign of insecurity, and we can talk about so I thought, I really need to teach her the basics of how to address an issue to stand up for herself. Because I had failed as a parent to let her know what happens if someone does something to you that is hurting you or making you uncomfortable or, you know, and how you address it. She didn't know the basics. So I sat down with her that day and I said, the first thing you do if someone says or does something to you that's making you uncomfortable or going beyond those boundaries and standing on someone's hand is against my boundaries, I'm sure it's yours. I said, is just say their name. It shows respect. Just say, Mrs. Shaner, get her attention and say, you're standing on my hand. That's all you have to do, honey. She won't be mad at you for that. And I say, I think so often people think they're going to be mad at me if I stand up for myself, you know?
Right.
And so at a young age,
right.
we just need to teach kids how to respectfully express their rights and stand up for themselves. And so it really has to do with, you know, just that that right to express your needs, you know, and your responsibility, you know, to express your needs and respect other people's, you know, as well. So that's one of the eye-opening experiences for me as a parent. And so I thought, well, if that's what I need to do as a parent, maybe I need to start talking about my own students. You know, because so many of them have told me, and including kids in your own grade level, that they were too afraid to confront a teacher about an issue that was bothering them because they didn't think they had
why.
So then, again, Erin, that carries over into relationships. I'm too
Absolutely.
Afraid to confront or to share how I feel. And so then we get into a relationship, and we're too afraid to talk about what our boundaries are, you know, and
right.
Like you, I really respect someone who right up front says, hey, I just want you to know this is where I stand. This is what I want.
Yeah.
This is what I'm willing to do and want. I love that clear communication. So that's what I try to stress with my students, you know, and, you know, maybe including your class. Maybe I was just having a brain fart and I had no idea what I was doing with you guys. But so
definitely. Listen, you're a great teacher. And so it was, it's just, I think that because so many things have been swept under the rug, I think there's like this new emphasis on it, you know. I am sure, of course, like teachers taught these things, but not in the same verbiage that's being used right now, and I don't think with the same emphasis necessarily. But of course you taught us this. Molly was a great teacher. Yes, so good. I mean, hello, I'm not trying to have bad teachers in my book.
No, you're not. You are not.
There's so many things you brought up that I think are so great. I love that you brought up the parental perspective. That's something I don't have. I don't know. I feel like a lot of parents are probably really nervous about this conversation.
Yes.
Do you have any suggestions in terms of like how a parent can bring this up to their kids, especially even if they're younger? I mean, I love that you gave the example of, you know, telling the teacher, insert name here.
Okay.
This is what's happening.
Yeah.
But can you give like another example of a way that a child or a young adult could express that their boundaries are being violated? Because it is a scary thing, depending on who's doing
okay.
it, especially.
I agree, and I really think it's not just telling, it's showing. And so I think as parents, we have to be the ones to actually educate ourselves and with the skills and practice the skills ourselves of demonstrating for our kids how to be respectful, how to express our needs, a husband and wife, partner, whoever it is, male, female, I don't, you know, whoever it is, demonstrating for kids what it's like to you know, not ask permission. I don't believe in asking permission in relationships because to me, permission means one person that relationship has
hierarchy.
I don't like that. What do you think about this? This is what I'm thinking. What do you think about this? So I think demonstrating for our kids, you know, how to go about expressing your needs, letting, you know, whoever it is. It could be the person in the grocery store. It could be the person, you know, your spouse. It could be your best friends. I think number one is demonstrating for our kids. I think that's the best education we can give them. I mean, because we're hypocritical. If we go around, boss everybody around, push ourselves on people aggressively instead of assertively, and then expect our kids not to. You know, we have kids with problems with bullying. You know, and that has to do with taking advantage of people. And a lot of times parents will come in because the kid has been bullying in school, but then you see why. You see why?
Right.
Because the parent starts being the administrator or the teacher. And to me, bullying is being aggressive. What's aggressive? It means that I'm expressing my needs, but I have no respect for yours or how you feel about my expression of them. And so I think it's just demonstrating assertiveness for our kids, teaching our kids what it means to be assertive, which means you have the right to express your needs, but you also have the responsibility to respect other people's needs and listen to them and then see if you can mutually come to that agreement with what's best for both of you. So it starts at a young age.
So,
you know,
it does.
So
no, and I appreciate you saying that because I mean, obviously, I bring in the dating perspective, so that's I usually focus on college right. Age and up. But
right.
It's so important to say that. It's so important. And I'm not a parent. I don't know that experience. But so thank you for bringing that perspective to this conversation.